PCD. 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 Well, Chris, welcome to PCD Cast. Absolutely great to get you on this podcast.
Thank you, David. Episode 13, isn't it? I'm excited. Hopefully not unlucky, but yeah. Thank you for having me.
Well, we've had many conversations as well about podcasting, so great to get you on as a guest. For the PCD community who might not have met you or seen you before, tell us a little bit about your background.
So based on the Isle of Man, and I'm going to say lifelong geek. So I'm as you know, David, I'm a very passionate techie. I kind of chase and follow emerging tech and try and apply that and bring that kind of authenticity and passion into whatever I'm doing. So I've worked in the corporate space for 22, 23 years. And at various levels, I've always sort of anchored towards technology. So initially started as managing a software company that developed corporate software on the Isle of Man. Recently, I was a consultant in the AI space, long before people were getting kind of excited about AI, kind of beat the curve a little bit on that one.
Fantastic. And we're going to talk today about the area of AI, artificial intelligence. It's a really interesting area for us in the marketing space, but we're going to chat today about how you're seeing it impact professional services businesses. And I mean, what sparked your interest in this area? You said you're a geek, you're a techie. Have you been following this conversation for a while?
I could kind of turn the clock back and trace it back to kind of 96, 97. So that was around the time that you had The Brain's Last Stand. That was Garry Kasparov versus Deep Blue in the chess tournament. I remember watching that on television and just being hooked and being fascinated by, you know, the concept that a machine could outthink a human, you know, reading sci-fi comic books. I'm a member of the British Science Fiction Association, so I've always been kind of fascinated around it. But it's only over the last, I'd say, 5 years that I've seen that I can bring that passion and bring that kind of knowledge into the corporate and the financial space. As you know, the big boys from Microsoft to Google, Apple, are all getting involved, Meta, in you know, playing their cards from an AI point of view, and that does impact not just businesses, but it impacts all of us as well. So I'm very fortunate that I'm able to take what I'm very passionate about and look to kind of share that knowledge both in the office with colleagues
and the professional services world. And professional services world is being disrupted by it, isn't it? Because, as you say, like, the thought of a machine thinking like a human mind, well, a lot of the leading professional services firms, it's on intellect, you know, that's what they're selling. So how do you think this is going to translate through and disrupt some of the services and the different businesses that are providing services on the Isle of Man?
From an Isle of Man point of view, we're really fortunate that, you know, Digital Isle of Man, you know, the government agency is very forward thinking when it comes to embracing new technology, and so you know, we're very fortunate being on the island that, as you know, and your listeners know, and those that are already here, for such a kind of concentrated area of expertise and individuals, it's very easy to get hold of people that you want to you know, sit in front of and ask those questions and share those knowledge, and whether or not that's departments within government or it's local service providers and professionals. So impact wise I think really you can put it into two camps, and this is not just an Isle of Man kind of segregation, it's globally. You'll have businesses and individuals that will be racing to kind of roll out something with an AI badge on. They won't want to miss an opportunity. They think they can see that, just the same way when the internet came about. We've got to have a website. We've got to have, you know, an email account, which is obviously important and you know, taken for granted now that everybody has those things. But the difference with AI is that because it's still from a commercial point of view and an integration point of view, there's so much noise happening And I'm seeing a lot of businesses and companies kind of racing towards, oh, we need a bot, or we need, you know, we've got to integrate AI into our business, but they haven't actually slowed down and really thought about, just because we can doesn't necessarily mean we should in those particular areas. Do they have an internal AI policy? Do they have an AI recruitment policy? Are the staff that they've currently got, the human staff, are they protected? You know, have they thought about the impact from those? And there has been instances is where, you know, in, especially in the US, where you're seeing companies rush to put these bots on their websites that are AI powered. And then, you know, people are using the integration with those bots in ways that they never imagined. There was examples of people, you know, being able to buy cars and holidays because the bot that particular company had created, you know, was rushed out of the quote unquote factory, and you know, they didn't put the guardrails in place, or they didn't think about actually, you know, how they should use it properly. So it's very important for people in the business sector and the finance sector and your listeners to make sure that they just take a breath and they think, yeah, there's so many opportunities from an AI point of view, but let's really think about how we can, you know, what we should be doing and why we're doing it.
And how do you think, can you give us some examples of how business processes could be innovated, disrupted, improved using AI? I think a lot of people are still looking to the use case in their specific sector.
So you can break it down into a number of areas. I mean, we've already mentioned, you've got customer interaction. So the beauty about AI agents or AI bots, as you say, is that they don't need to sleep. You know, that they can, you know, they can work around the clock. They don't need to take holidays. So if you're implementing an AI agent or an AI interface that's customer facing, it can, you know, if you've got opportunities that you feel as a business that you're missing because you don't have the, you know, the organic or the human staff to be able to cater for inquiries that are, you know, coming in when you're all asleep. So you've got that opportunity there. And you've got other opportunities that those bots can represent, if you code it right and you take the time, that they can represent your brand, and based on your brand guidelines and based on what your brand is about, your business is about, they can represent that. There's opportunities from a language and a translation point of view. If you're dealing with companies or third parties or individuals that are wanting information about your brand, and you don't necessarily have the in-house language expertise within the human staff within the business, then absolutely, you can direct them to a translator or an internal individual that speaks every language under the sun. From an internal process point of view, you know, we're seeing very, very exciting things, especially when it comes to working with vast amounts of data. So if especially in areas that are regulated, that, you know, you need to keep on top of changes in regulation, changes in laws, being able to utilize AI within the business to make sure that your compliance staff or your AML staff or your security staff are tooled up and have the skill house to be able to crunch these vast amounts of ever-moving requirements as well. So using AI to be able to crunch that data and identify risks, identify opportunities, can be really powerful as well. But then also internally, from a brainstorming, to everything from taking notes to, you know, transcribing large amounts of video, even podcasts like we're on. If there's the requirements for these individuals to watch a certain amount of you know, regulatory videos, or being able to utilize AI in a way that you're able to watch hours and hours worth of video and highlight the important bits of information within that that is applicable to our business, can be very important as well. But then that comes back around to ensuring that you know, it's fully tested, and it's, you've got your guardrails and your safety elements in place as well. Because what AI off the shelf is great at doing is making things up. I mean, it's referred to as hallucinations, but, you know, a lot of these AI, if we talk about agents, have been created to sound as human as possible. So, and some humans don't like to admit when they don't know an answer, so they will fill in the gaps or they'll make things up, and the same could be had with AI. So it is very important when you're bringing any sort of AI into a business that you understand that it's not perfect. that you do have to still have those human eyeballs on there, or that you've built those guardrails in place that you're creating the safety parameters around it.
And in terms of more creative tasks, I think people have seen the power of AI in terms of copy and also imagery now. People are just getting used to those ideas. But where do you see it in a marketing context as most useful?
It's a really, really interesting question. We could probably fill up the entire kind of second of the podcast on that. But I think we're at a stage at the moment where individuals are using AI to create creative content, whether or not that's written or visual. And from somebody that's been around AI for a fair amount of time, it's very easy, if we talk about copy, it's very easy for me to identify just by a quick glance whether or not that written copy has been written by a human or using AI. There's a lot of telltale signs there. And at the moment, you know, I'll switch off to that, thinking, okay, well, they haven't put any thought. There's not an authenticity there in that. And it's not to say that AI can't create valuable content, but a lot of my content, like your own, is, it does have to be authentic. It does have to be genuine. And if I see somebody's trying to pass something else off as that, I tend to switch off, and other people will do the same. But I think we're at this.
It can have an overly upbeat tone of voice, can't it? You know, the tone of voice can just be wrong on AI, or you can read it back and think that's not authentic.
Absolutely, absolutely. But that's where training comes in. I mean, you know, I could give you content, and it's interesting. So I've put content out on my LinkedIn as an example. And over time, I was able to train at a LinkedIn, an AI agent, to produce the copy in the way that I'm known for. So I use certain words and certain styles of copy, which is very much sort of recognizable. And it was interesting to sort of follow that and push that out. And most people wouldn't pick up on it, but I'd taken the time to train the AI agent. It wasn't just off the shelf and plugged in. So, you know, telltale examples is when you see, you know, American spelling if you're not based in the US, you know, throwing those Z's in letters and words that, you know, our US folks tend to throw in there. So starting sentences with "in the ever-changing world" or "in the fast-moving pace." And those are the things that you could instantly spot. Okay, well, that's AI generated. But if you take the time to kind of train it and put your own custom instructions in, it can be quite difficult to kind of spot that whether or not it's generated or not. But then you have to think, you've got to think about the receiving end of that. So if you're generating this content using AI, is it going to be a human on the other end that's going to be reading that or watching that? Or is it going to be another AI that's going to be reading that and taking the information out? Now, that's where I think we're in an exciting time, is that we're going to be moving from you know, humans marketing to humans to AI marketing to other AI. And you'll have AI built. Should I listen to this podcast? Listen to it in 100 times speed, identify whether or not that's of value to me. And if the guys on the podcast are talking about something which is relevant to me or relevant to my business, then summarize it or play it back at 2x speed or feed it back to me or talk it back to me in a language that it wasn't initially recorded in. So you really have to be thinking, you know, when you're creating any sort of copy or content, who's going to be on the receiving end of that? Who's going to be processing it?
And on the imagery as well, I think you threw up an image on LinkedIn as well with a sort of enhanced, an AI enhancement. And I didn't catch it at first. I definitely, you know, sometimes it's funny the way that the mind works and the way that you scan LinkedIn. But what do you think on the imagery front as well?
It's whether or not it's fit for purpose. Again, it goes back, David, is just because you can doesn't necessarily mean you should. So, I mean, I threw that up as an example to try and catch people, to say, look, here's a photo shoot, and seeing lots of, again, just the kind of off the shelf, people were signing up to things like ChatGPT and using the image generation. But in the AI circles, you know, there's so much more that is capable, that AI is capable of, and being able to use your own likeness or use your own imagery to create these images and even down to, it's a bit like when you create a prompt, even down to the fact that, look, you know, make sure that, you know, I've got a purple shirt on, or, you know, my long beard, and remove a few wrinkles. I think I shaved about 10 years off that picture. It's whether it's fit for purpose. Is why are you creating that image? And what would the backlash be if the individuals on the receiving end of seeing that feel that they were being duped, or feel that, you know, you've got to really think about before you engage with AI, and especially from an image generation and video generation as well. I mean, we're getting to the stage now where, you know, we're already seeing music videos being created by AI, and there's individuals on two camps. There's people that are pushing back on it, and there are people that are embracing it, and it's an exciting time, definitely.
What do you think the implications are for sort of generally how, as a society, we look at knowledge sharing, training, just all those concepts? You know, when you think about how the education system has been built, this is a big challenge, isn't it, to the way that we think about learning and knowledge, isn't it?
It is, David, because, I mean, my personal take, and I don't know what your listeners will feel, my personal take is we're moving into an age where being skilled in being able to use AI is so incredibly important in the classroom at an early age. And the teachers that embrace that, they should be able to free up more time to be able to have one-on-one time with the students now. So we're moving into an age where these students, these young people, are going to be getting out into the workplace where AI is so embedded and so ingrained into the not only society, but the workplace as well. But the skills that they need to be learning are, you know, working together, you know, problem solving with each other, interpersonal networking. I mean, being able to, I mean, you'll have seen it yourself, you know, when you've got the, you know, the younger PCD events where you've got these younger staff that are a little bit green behind the ear. And it's great that what you do with being able to sort of put on an event for them, because they're, you know, they're younger and they're keen to network. But some of them that come to those events, they've never networked before. And that's a skill that you don't necessarily get taught at school. But using AI, being able to allow the children to embrace that, but also have access to all of that kind of knowledge that was traditionally taught in textbooks, you know, that whether or not it's history or science, and understand that, look, the skills that we should be focused on now are the interpersonal skills. It's being able to walk into a room and identify where you can bring value, your particular set of skills or your confidence. And that's where I'm excited to see the schools that are embracing that. And I was invited by one of our junior schools to come and teach. And these were 8, 9, 10-year-olds. I was able to come in and teach them how to use AI safely and what its capabilities were. And they were all throwing their hands up and asking questions. And they were asking questions with the AI. And we were doing image generation. I think we even came away with writing a musical as well using AI. So... But it was great to see that the children were interacting with each other and saying, well, we should ask this next. What should we do with this? And that's the way I see it going. And it's not too dissimilar with what you should have in the office environment as well, is break down that fear barrier of being able to engage with an AI that might seem a little bit gimmicky or geeky or a little bit too sci-fi, especially for people that, you know, aren't nerds like me. But once you break down that fear barrier, and say, well, look, actually, here's an AI that you can have a conversation with. Here's a video that's been created by an AI agent. You're going to engage with this individual now to do your onboarding training, because it makes more sense for the company to have that individual engage with a digital twin of our training manager or a digital twin of our compliance manager. And you're going to engage with them, and that individual has been given all the knowledge of that human being, but you're able to ask them questions as well. And so it is, you know, I keep saying it's an exciting time, because it is. There's so many opportunities, but you still have to be careful, obviously.
Is there a divide between the sort of digital natives? Is there a generational divide in this space, do you think? Or do you speak to people of all ages, some older people really excited about this? I mean, what's your sense of how people kind of pick up and run with this idea? Is it lazy to categorize this as, you know, something for younger people and older people sort of almost writing it off and putting their head in the sand?
I'm going to flip that and ask, not that you've got that many years on me, but I'm going to ask you. So I'm going to ask you, what do you think? I mean, just to answer the question off the bat, I would say, so I've just come from a meeting where... there was a lady who, she was significantly older than I am. Of her own admittance, she was, she's not very technologically minded. But she was really keen on learning as much as she could about AI. And she was afraid that she was missing the opportunities that it might present itself. And we did a real world case, a real world example of where she was looking to sell some furniture in her house, some old Victorian furniture. But she was struggling on getting it seen on social media. She was struggling on how to go about selling it and writing the copy for it. So I created an agent for her, and we uploaded the photos that she'd taken of the furniture, and using AI, and we created a professional furniture salesman. It was able to look at the photographs, identify the different types of furniture, and create a whole kind of marketing strategy on how to get this sold. And that was an example of where she could instantly see the real world benefit to her. But then she was able to take that and say, okay, well, if I can use it for that, I can use it for other things in the business as well. So I think while there is a bit of a divide and gap, there is a hunger to learn of any age. So what about yourself, David?
To answer your question, I mean, just to age myself, I was born in 81. So I'm kind of like on the cusp, really, of people I meet who are 10 years older than me say, oh yeah, I'm not very technologically savvy, you know, but people 10 years younger are the genuine digital natives. And so I suppose for me, like even just getting things like ChatGPT on your phone, or just talking with the kids at home about, oh, why don't we just look it up on there, or is starting to become, but it was something I had to actually go out and find. It wasn't something that I thought to do straight away. And partly because I'm interested in marketing and all these different fields, it's brought me to the table more. But I wonder if I was in a different field where this opportunity was seemed a bit more further away, whether I would have got it on my phone and explored it further. But I mean, I'm excited by the opportunities that it presents. But I just wonder whether people a little bit older are almost like they don't quite know where to start. Do you know what I'm saying? So I mean, it'd be interesting to know what you think. If people are still getting up the curve on this field, as many people are, but thinking about it in their business context, where do you start looking at the commercial applications? If you've got a blank sheet of paper with a customer, someone you're talking to, where do you go?
I mean, a great example. Let's do a real example there. So if we had a blank piece of paper and you're able to draw out, if you've got a business or an individual that is wondering where to start, writing down on that scrap of paper sort of some of the top level kind of areas that they're wanting to pursue and they're wanting to look at. Taking a photograph of that, if they download ChatGPT, we use ChatGPT as an example, and they pay the premium model, they're able to use the vision, take a photograph of what they've written on paper and say, look, these are my thoughts, let's expand it. Let's grow this, and actually ask the ChatGPT to say, look, guide me through this. This is where I am. And the more honest you are, the more open you are to say, look, I know nothing. I know nothing about this. This is, and obviously be mindful of the information that you're sharing. As long as you're not, you know, breaking any internal policies or rules, and you're not sharing anything that you shouldn't be, but breaking it down and saying, look, go to the source. So if you're wanting to know where to start, go to the source and say, look, this is what I'm looking at. This is what, you know, the strengths of our business. This is the weaknesses of our business. Can you help guide me through that? And use the AI to help you guide through that. What I find is a lot of people are, again, it's breaking down that fear barrier of, and because we've come from a generation of using Google search, for example, and just banging a single line in and then scrolling through and trying to find the best answer. Whereas coming at using AI is slightly different. The more information that you give it, the better value you're going to get back. And saying, look, this is my skill level, this is my understanding. Can you create me a roadmap of study, or roadmap of learning? Reaching out to companies and individuals like myself, as I said, I've just come from a training session. You know, I'm always open and excited to be able to sit down with people. And I've done sessions with football clubs, private banks, and at various different levels of exploring where we can implement AI within the business. But if you're just...
And the quality of these models as well is, the quality of these models is improving all the time, isn't it? And iterating the depth of data they're pulling on, the efficiency in which they're creating answers. So we're really just getting going, aren't we, in terms of how this can improve people's businesses?
Oh, 100%. 100%. We're going to look back. Sam Altman, the founder of OpenAI, he recently was quoted as saying, we're going to look back at 2024 and see what we're doing with AI as being, you know, quite archaic, you know. So what's coming around the corner is going to be even more advanced. It's going to be even more capable, and which is why it's so important now to upskill yourself, is to seek out that knowledge and learn as much as you can. But the benefit is, as well, you know, just to throw in a plug for your PCD events, is, you know, what AI can't do is that human interaction, you know, being able to network and attend those events and you know, where you can without divulging company information, is sharing with each other, look, this is what I'm using AI and this is my wins, this is what I'm struggling with, and share that knowledge. I think it's so important for businesses at the moment and just humans in general to share as much as they can, knowledge share with each other, like, you know, what we're doing here on this podcast. That's the way that you're going to be able to get ahead of the curve and embrace it, right, is that knowledge sharing.
Fantastic. Well, Chris, great to talk to you today. I fully recommend people listening along to this, do follow Chris on social media. He's a very entertaining commentator on social media. Where can people find you on socials, so, Chris?
That's really interesting because, you know, I've recently stepped slightly away from LinkedIn. So you can still find me. I haven't closed my account down. It's still live. Because I enrolled in an AI university and I wanted to take the time I was sort of spending on LinkedIn and really put it towards the AI university. But you can still find me on LinkedIn. You can reach out there and get in touch with me, or maybe you'll even see me at one of the PCD events. I'm quite noticeable. Look for the guy with the long beard and the top knot and probably wearing some sort of geeky jacket pin. So that's probably the best bet.
Fantastic. Well, look, great to chat to you today, Chris. Thank you for talking to me, and look forward to sharing this podcast.
Thank you.